I don't know if they told you anything about me, and I don't know, some of you do, some of you don't know me. Obviously, I'm Tammy Hendricks, I'm Todd's wife. And I grew up in a moral home. I did not grow up in a godly home. My parents were saved, but they weren't discipled. So I could have told you on Christmas Day that Christ came to, well, Christ had come to this earth and the Virgin Mary carried him and he was born, and that's why we celebrate Christmas. I could have told you that we celebrated Easter because Christ had come to this earth to live a perfect life and to die a sacrificial death for me on the cross, and he wasn't dead, that he rose again, and that he was God. I could have told you all of that, but I was still headed to hell because I never accepted it. I knew it. I could tell you all the facts about it. And we even went to church. And when I got older, my mom worked in a factory, and so we weren't as faithful to church as we had been. I knew everything, but I had never accepted it. And in 1987, after I had finished my first year of college, I came home, and at Mount Zion Baptist Church in Brogue, Pastor Fisher was the pastor at the time, and he spoke on hell, and it clicked with me that that's where I was headed. And I knew then that I could tell you all the facts, but I had never accepted it. And that's where I went, and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior the next day. And from that point on, went to Pensacola Christian College and met my honey at Guam, and ta-da, here we are, 26 years later. So today, I'm not going to tell you what I'm speaking on just yet, but I have a story to tell you. Here it is. It involves this very broom, it involves, okay? So, if you think I'm inept at speaking, you should see me with a computer. It's kind of bad. So, hence, I'm in the church office 2 days a week. And I only survive because there's another lady, Miss Hilda, there. So, one day this spring, I had gone to work, and Todd told, I don't know if you, have any of you met Truman?
Yeah.
I produced him. Anyway, so he's my youngest. And so Todd told Truman, your job this today is to go out into the garage. And we had like three big totes. And take all, and it was just junk that I had thrown in. Oh, I don't know where this goes. Throw it in there. And clean it up. Throw the junk out. Condense it. I don't want three totes. So came home that day. And just as normal, I come home, I'm busy, I'm getting home, I'm trying to get supper. And Truman goes, and I'm like, Truman, did you do your job? Well, yeah, but there was a mouse in the tote. I can't stand mice. Like, mice make me squeal like a schoolgirl. It's not pretty, okay? I mean, it was all, he might as well have said the mouse was in my bed. I don't care. It was in the garage. And I'm like, oh my word. I had to stop though, because I had to get supper. So we get all supper, and it went to the back of my mind. And it's a nice evening. We all go out to sit on the front porch, and my mom lives with us. And she goes, Todd, did Tammy tell you there was a mouse in the garage? And I'm like, there was. I forgot all about there's a mouse in the garage. And I said, you did kill it, right? And they're like, no, it's probably still in there. What? It's not still. Get off the chairs and open the garage door, buddy. I had a broom, and I had an attitude, and I was ready. And so we go, and I'm like, open the garage door. So Todd and Truman are going with me. Mom, she's 82 years old. She's old, but she's sitting there. She's, and I got the dog. I have a lab. And so we pull the totes out. Now, listen. I still hate mice. Jumping jacks and mice will make me wet myself. But I'm telling you, whoa. So I'm like, I got the toad out. And it's this one. I know it's this one. So I go and I flick something out. I don't see anything, but I know it's in there. It's in there. So I feel, and sure enough, it's in there. Now, how many of you have ever seen someone churn butter? You know, like not the cranking, but the, okay, all right, Case in point. Here we go. Might even see stuff on the end of this. Anyway, this very broom. So I'm like this. In this tote, I have a skirt on, and I got an attitude and a broom, and I'm ready. There is a mouse in my home, and it's going to die. So I start. I don't see this thing anywhere, but buddy, I'm going to crush it somehow. So I pull it out, and I am up and down, up and down. Thing runs out. Jumps over the corner, runs out. Todd's like, Truman, go get a lid for this. We're just going to dump it in the woods. We're not dumping it in the woods. We're going to kill that thing. Because where there's one, there's more. There's more. There's more. Thank you. Thank you. There's always more. So I start flicking. There they are. And so I'm yelling. Truman is just laughing his head off. My mom is like, I am sure this child, it switched at birth. She cannot be genetically mine. Todd is like, we're going to need to get medication. I am just like, I'm a Truman. And Truman's like, Mom, it's under the bag. I don't care. Crush the bag. Crush it. I don't care. I killed one. I killed it. And I am like so triumphant. Yes. I know there's another one in there. There's two in there. So flick, 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 flick. I'm down to the bottom. Crush, crush. Oh, my soul. I tell you that. It has no spiritual thing to it. But I'm telling you, I'm not the most stable human being you'll ever meet. But there's something about mice that irritate me, and I can't stand it. But something, and here's the thing. When I'm in my house, look, you're going to put your food away because I don't want mice in the house. Hey, we have food that we dump out for the chickens. Listen, I don't want it near the house because I don't want mice in the house. I had left one little area in the garage go, and the very thing that I didn't want in my home came in my home because I left one area go. I left it where I became sloppy with it. And in it, the very thing I didn't want, I had to deal with. And so today, I'm about to tell you what we're going to speak on. And I realize that sometimes when I say this word, some of you are going to go, oh my word, do we have to talk about this? I know some of you think, you're like one step from depends in a nursing home. What are you talking about? I'm just saying, we're going to talk about modesty today. And like I said, listen, I am not going to look at you and say, well, listen, you're young and you don't have a clue. I don't want you to think that because that's not my heart. And I don't want you to look at me and say, what are you to say? How do you even know what my life is like at this age? We do, because the Bible tells us that there is no sin that you're dealing with today that I dealt with when I was a child. It's the only difference is it's the access to it becomes easier in today's world. What you'll see on your handout is I printed out some verses we're going to look at just to help you be a little easier. There is a paper there also with a hymn, and the hymn is you're all on the altar. And really, modesty is a mindset, and modesty is an issue of, am I willing to put my all on the altar for the Lord? Am I going to make him Lord of all? There is a saying, if he's not Lord at all, Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And it is a struggle to go with our clothing. Every area of our life matters to God. Now, some of you may be saying, I've heard this before. And the very people who talk to me about it, if you knew what my parents were like at church and then how they become at home, or if you knew how the deacon's kids talk at church, or what they look at on their phones, and then they're telling me I'm supposed to wear a dress, or it's supposed to be below my knee, or I'm supposed to have my clothing covered. The problem is that I don't compare myself to the world around me. Jesus Christ is my standard of conduct. The Bible is my standard of conduct. And so in this room, I understand that there are two groups of people. There is the group that you know the Lord, and in that group of Christians, there are some of you who are like, Miss Tammy, if God shows me in the Word, I'm going to try and obey it the best I know how. And some of you are here, I know the Lord, but don't tell me what to wear, or don't tell me what to listen to, or don't tell me what I can look at. It's mine. I'm a Christian, but I don't look. Don't tell me what I can do about this. And that's a very dangerous spot to be in. There's another group in this room, and you are unsaved, and you know it. You're like me. You can quote the Bible verses, but you've never applied it to your life. Listen, I don't want you to wear a dress below your knee and make sure everything's uptight and nothing's form-fitting, and yet be empty inside and unsaved. I don't want any modest Pharisee in here. The very number one thing you must take care of is your walk with the Lord, and it begins with salvation. And so, yes, I do want you to wear your dresses. Yes, God expects them to be at a certain length and to draw attention to the right parts of me. But it's not going to save you. And salvation is the number one thing. I want to tell you a story. I don't know why it must always deal with mice. Usually it's chickens, but today is mice. So we went out. What's going on? Do I have a wasp in my hair? Hold on. Oh, and it goes in there. What? Wait, where is it at?
It's in your hair.
Well, wait, what if I do this? Now it'd be in somebody else's hair. No, is it still there?
Yeah, it's still in your hair.
Zena! Wait, here. Use this paper. Can we put this off of this system? Okay. Or wait, can you grab it?
I get the scissors and cut it off.
Oh, man.
Don't move.
Okay. How did it get in my hair and all this stuff?
I was calling up Zena.
Aw, you're awesome.
I was calling up Zena.
Let's have a round of applause. And for Maria. And Violet. Yes, thank you. Oh. Could you imagine? I would have squealed like a schoolgirl if that thing would have done it. Alright, so we're back to the goat pen story. Alright, so I have a goat pen near my chicken coop. And so I had to get rid of my goats. And so I decided to move all my chicken food to the goat pen. And so I put in the goat pen, I put my chicken food and I have it in another big tote. I don't know what it is with totes, but it had a lid. So I go out and I'm like, goat pens have mice in them probably, but I know there's a black snake that I let live in my goat pen because I see him every day. I always went out and looked for him. He's in the corner. He's supposed to eat the mice, so I let him live there. So I go and I open the goat pen and I go in and there's the tote lid isn't on tight. So I take the lid off and I scoop I get in and it's a bag. There's no lights. And I scoop. This thing runs up my arm. And I let out like it was Animal Planet Warhoop. Okay? I let her rip. It just. So and I'm like, Truman, you didn't close the lid on this. He wasn't even around. So I go. And the next day, all right, I'll make sure that the lid's on. And the next day, I'm like, okay, I'm good. The mice are gone. The lid's closed. I'm opening it up. But I'm like, just to be safe, I take my hand on the lid and I go, on the feedback, and I go, bam, bam, bam. I don't know why. I thought I hear this squeak. And I'm like, nah, can't be a squeak. So I'm like, so I hit it a few more times. So I'm like, if there was something in there, it's gone. So I open it up, scoop out. Sure enough, this thing comes further up my arm, and I let out a war whoop that even the neighbor's dogs barked. I'm telling you. What was the problem? That second day, I knew there was no mouse. I had done something about it. But the truth is, I believed a lie. There was a mouse in it. The lid wasn't tight enough. And I based my behavior, unknowingly, by the way. I thought it was safe, just scoop that thing till that hummer come running up my arm, and boom! So, my point is this. Sometimes we have a perspective in our life that's wrong. And so we think to ourselves, Miss Tammy, why do I have to wear a dress when most of the world doesn't? Or why does it have to be to the knee? Or why can't it be a little more form-fitting? Why must it be because, and listen, the people at my school don't, and we base our attitude on a lie that we truly believe, but it's still a lie. And so your beliefs will affect your actions. You cannot justify your sin on a lie. It's a dangerous thing. And sometimes we are deceived in such ways that we don't even know we're being deceived. We think to ourselves, well, if I dress godly, I'm going to look one step above the Amish. I mean, it can't be good. But we get this mindset. I read this quote, being pretty or handsome is not a sin. Working to improve your appearance does not have to be vanity. But we are still left with the undeniable biblical fact that God considers modesty a virtue and its opposite a vice. Now, I want to show you some pictures and I hope you can see it. Now that I have in the back of my head, is there still another? Yeah, no. Okay. That or head lice. Nah, see, I only say that to torment some of you. All right. Some of us say that how we dress, and I justify that my culottes might be 3 inches above my knee because look at, compared to what everybody else wears, I'm looking pretty good. But I want to show you how things changed. Believe it or not, my dad, who is now with the Lord, was born in 1919. And so when he was 16 years old, it was 1935. 1935, my dad was 16 years old. I don't know how well you can see this picture. This picture is a movie actor. I don't know about the woman, but I want you to see an entertainer of the day, how they're dressed. This wasn't a photo. I mean, I didn't search for, oh, I gotta find the modest one. No, I want you to see in 1935 the standard of society. Now, my mom, who is quite a bit younger than my dad, was 16 years old in 1952. Now, from 1935 to 1952, here's the standard. Now, I want you to see something just slight. The man is still in his pants. He has a nice suit on. He's got his hair short. But I want you to see that the woman, still modest, but it's starting to get a little more form-fitting. Now, you might say, Miss Tammy, honestly, but I'm telling you, you let one little mouse in, he brings friends, and it starts affecting everything. So you might say, we look at that and go, wow, they look like they're going to church. But things are starting to slip. Miss Tammy is 16 years old in 1982. Now, I didn't get a real good picture of what chicks look like in 1982, but it's starting to change, okay? These ladies have pants on, very acceptable in 82 now, and how we've come from 1950s, that now pants are acceptable on women. But I want you to see, now I want you to remember, in 1952, how the man looked. Now I want you to see the stud muffins, how they looked in 1982, when I was 16 years old.
Oh, goodness.
Now these are, hey, they're hot. You know, these were the guys of, let's look.
You'll
say, hey, Mom, I met a guy and his hair is even prettier than mine. Said no one ever. You know, so, he's so hot. So, but the thing is, acceptable. Acceptable. That was the standard. That's what girls wanted to attract. Can you imagine? I know, maybe some of you might be like, I'm like, okay, you think that's hot? We need some serious issues. All right. Now, this year. Hey, pretty clean cut, right? Except, same person. It was a male transvestite who changed from man to woman. Socially acceptable now. Hey, if you see transgender bathroom issues on the news, you hear all of it. If you hear all of it, it sounds like it is so prevalent in our society. It has become the trend. Hey, it's the norm to be homosexual. It's a norm to, hey, you're part of the crowd now. And we move from one thing to another. I want to ask you this question. As of last Sunday, our population, last Sunday, the population of the United States of America is 329,034,082. 329,034,082. I want to ask you a question, don't yell at me. How many of you, now thinking of what our media is like and how the news is like, how many of those people will transition from one gender to the other? Male to female, female to male, which is very acceptable in today's society. Of that, how many of you think of 329 million? How many of you think of at least 100,000 will transition? How many, it's not a right or wrong answer. How many of you think about 100,000 at least will transition? I looked up the source, by the way, this isn't a biblical one. I didn't look up Bible facts, I looked up on the internet. 13,161 people will transition out of 329 million. My point in telling you that is this, is if you looked on the media, you look on your phone, and you say, wow, everybody dresses like this, everybody listens to this, everybody looks like this, and it's not. It's because of the media. And I tell you that because you cannot use entertainment to justify how you look. And yet, the Bible has stayed the same. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. But Miss Tammy, you can go to the store and there are ladies' pants. Still pants. That only came in, and you look it up. And by the way, I brought some of these books to put in the book sale down there. Excellent book. Dressing for the Lord by David Cloud. Excellent, excellent book on how society and how our fashion industry took the dress and made it into pants for girls and made it stylish, but the motive was this, was to go against authority. It wasn't, hey, let's glorify the Lord in this way. I'm not saying that, oh, well, if you wear pants, then you're not going to heaven. I didn't say that. But I am saying that God expects us in every area of our life to reflect Him. And that's what our dress is. It is to attract people to me to look at my face and to listen to who I am and to say there's something different about her. Oh, well, I can tell you, I know Christ is my Savior. She reacts differently. She looks differently. She talks differently. Me is a reflection. It's not, I'm going to dress this way so you can look at parts of me so I can get your attention. It says in Exodus 28:42, and God giving directions to Aaron and his sons, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. Now, The loins are the waist, and to the thighs is to the knee. So you might say, well, Miss Tammy, that's Old Testament, and that was Aaron and his sons. That is not dealing with me. But it is a standard, because God considered anything above your knee nakedness. We can find in Genesis, Adam and Eve used fig leaves to cover themselves, and God said, that's not enough. I'm making you coats. And coats, is in the word for coats, was a robe, a covering, so that when people looked at them, they looked here, not at everything they had to offer. And so, Proverbs 11:22, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Without discretion, in other words, there's a really hot woman, and she's got a nice body, and she dresses, and hey, she has a dress on, and it comes to here, and it comes to her, down to her hands, and it goes down below her knees, but it's as tight can be. Still immodest. Why? Because it draws attention to the parts of her that she wants to be attracted and gains men attention. But here's the problem. There's a saying, what it takes to get them is what it takes to keep them. If you look at a boy and say, well, Miss Tammy, I really like him, but if I dress like this, he'll think I'm a nut. Then stay away from him. If you have to get rid of your biblical convictions in order to get him, stay away from him. Because here's the thing, and I don't mean this to be inappropriate, but the parts of me are not meant for everyone else. It's meant for the Lord, and it's meant for my husband. My body does not define who I am. Who I am is right here. Who I am is right here. Who I am is who I am in Christ, not wow, look at the wrapping. I'd like to unwrap that. Because sooner or later, gravitational pull takes its effect. I'm just saying. Miss Michelle, let me ask you something. Do you look today like you did when you married or when you first met Kenton? Do you look the same way? No. How many years you've been married? 27 years. Let me ask you, what did Kenton get you for Mother's Day this year? I thought I remember you saying. Yellow roses. You have gray hair, Miss Michelle?
Yes.
Parts sagging that used to not sag? Yes. Here's the thing. The wrapper wasn't what their marriage was based on. But if it's what you're using to attract him, it's what you're always going to have to upkeep. And you're not going to have that same story. Because that marriage, my marriage, and many of the godly women here, their marriage is based on the fact that I know the Lord, my husband knows the Lord, and we want to serve him together. Not, will you please notice me? Or, hey, kids in youth group, they don't want to be my friends. If I keep dressing like this, then let them be. Who wants to be you want a friend that tells you you have to change in order to be accepted? You don't need that. Remember, our standard is the Lord. I want to read something to you. Every now and then in the news, a near drowning is reported. A tragedy that was thwarted by the bold rescue action of another swimmer. But frequently, it happens that the desperate person thrashes about violently when approached, striking out at his would-be savior in panic until the drowning person surrenders to his rescuer. He puts them both in peril. It's in giving up that he gains what he truly needs. I want to say that again. It's in giving up that he gains what he truly needs. Jesus, you can have, I won't listen to that music. And when I have my phone, I won't look on that website. But listen, If you tell me I cannot wear this, I know this is mine and I'm not giving in. Do you know there's a thing, it's called dry drowning? It's when a person goes in the water and they may be playing around, but in the process of time of playing or they're trying to learn, they suck in water enough that it goes into their lung. They get out of the water and they go home only to have that infection set in the lungs, and they basically drown in the own fluid of their lungs. That's like the Christian who says, you can have every part of me, but God, not this one. You can't tell me what to dress. Oh, you can't tell me that I can't listen to this. Hey, people in the youth group, listen to this. And you hold on to it, and you slowly drown in it, and I guarantee you it will affect you. We think, if it makes me miserable, it must be from God. That's how we think. And if it's fun, God says no. Because I can't have fun and be godly. That's how we think many times. But yet, listen to this verse. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. A thought. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen, if I work for it and I buy it, don't you? If mom says, listen, you can have that, but you have to work and earn it, don't you appreciate it? Right? I mean, you don't take something that, hey, I've worked all summer long, and I've been working for this, and I've bought it, and I love it, and you go, throw it out. No. I cherish it. I try it. Hey, listen, I'm proud of it because, hey, I bought this. I worked for this. That's the way Christ is with us. I bought you with a price. So now I want to protect you from those who will harm you. This is what we think, though. This is God. This is modesty, according to God. This is it. I'm telling you, this is how we think. This is how I must dress because it must be biblical. Oh, wait, I have more. Because winter comes. Winter. Here's winter dress. I know some of you are hunters, but wait. Hunters, this is how God expects me to dress. This is modesty. Oh, I haven't forgotten swimwear. Swimwear also helps you with weight loss. With plastic in the summer. See? And that's what we think, so. We get in our minds of, oh, must be from God. Must look like this. But yet, that's not what God says. Did not God create the rainbow? Did not God create things that would make certain fabrics? All he's asking you is this, is to dress in such a way that when people look at you, they say, she's been bought with a price. And she has value. She's not just something I want to unwrap. She's someone I want, hey, I want to get to know her more. Hey, she's smart. Oh, I'd like to marry her. I bet she'd make a good mother for my children if God would give us that. I bet I could serve the Lord with her. That's what Jesus wants you to find in a mate. But you're not going to find that when you say, look at me, so I'm going to make my things tighter. I'm going to make my things higher. I'm not looking for style. I'm looking to reflect Christ. And if you don't do that, but unfortunately, I realize that some of you in here still think, whatever. Yeah, I hope this is soon over. Wonder what's for lunch. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, when you let one mouse in, it's going to come in with more. If you leave it unaddressed, they will bring more mice in. I I promise I'm almost done. So hold on, and I'm just asking you to listen. You might sit here and say, I don't care what you have to say. I'm going to wear what I want, and I couldn't care less. I want you to listen to this. It's 2 Kings 20, 17 through 19. Behold, the days come. Now this is Isaiah speaking to King Hezekiah. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day. In other words, everything from your past, everything that's in the present, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah, now listen, Isaiah just said, everything in your past, everything right now, and everything in your future is going to be taken away from you because of your sin. And he says, then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? In other words, he was saying, I can wear what I want and I don't care. I can look what I want and I don't care what God has to say. Hezekiah was mostly a good king, but after God miraculously healed him and gave him an extra 15 years to live, he made some serious mistakes. Hezekiah was not grateful, as he should have been, but instead became proud. After he displayed his treasures for emissaries from Babylon, Isaiah came to announce God's judgment. Yet, unbelievably, Hezekiah did not seem at all concerned to learn that the lives of his children would be altered forever as God gave victory to Babylon. As long as he had peace for himself, he didn't care about the future. Satan has used a short-sighted focus on the present many times to lure God's children away from obedience. He shows us the immediate pleasure of sin, but conceals the long-term suffering. He shows us the temporary benefit while hiding the lasting damage. Our lives are not just about the years we spend on this earth. They should be about the future and about eternity. Every day we are having an impact on others for either good or bad. Making sure our focus is where it should be is a vital step toward doing right in any situation. And we cannot maintain that focus unless we maintain an appreciation for that which is lasting. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, never sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate. I'm going to say that again. Never sacrifice the future on the altar of immediate. You know, you looked at those pictures of 1982 of those boys in really tight pants and long hair, and you think, my soul. But I guarantee you there were Christian young ladies during that time period who said, oh, I wish he'd like me. And we think, oh, no, really? Who are you looking at that you want to notice you and they're far from the Lord? It's the same thing, whether the boy has short hair or long hair, what he wears. If he's asking you to get away from your biblical convictions, he is not for you. And yet, sadly, I realize that there could still be someone in this room who could listen to all of that and say, well, that's your opinion. I still want it. I don't care the cost. I still want it. Psalm 106:15 says, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. You want to know why we have opioid drug addictions? Because we have teenagers today, young adults, who think, I don't need God, but I can't seem to find this emptiness inside. I get, I want it, so I get it. And I will do anything to get your attention, and I want you, so I'll have you. And there's a leanness in the soul because that's what God gave them. But if I fill it with a chemical, maybe I'll feel better. No. It's by giving yourself to the Lord and submitting every area in your life to Him will that emptiness go away, and it will be filled with the Lord. And so, I appreciate how you listened this morning, and I realized that